Putting ecumenism into practice. That was one of the stated aims of the Pauline year, which Pope Benedict called for to mark the 2000th anniversary of the birth of the Apostle of the Gentiles. And it's also one of the aims of an initiative which took place this week in St. Paul's Cathedral in London, designed by the 17th century English architect Sir Christopher Wren. On Wednesday, the Anglican Cathedral held a special ceremony during evensong for the admission of Abbot Edmund Power of the Benedictine Abbey of St. Paul outside the walls here in Rome as an honorary canon, in recognition of the links between these two great churches dedicated to the Apostle of the Gentiles. Just before he left for London, I talked to Father Edmund about this unusual initiative and how it could help further the cause of Anglican-Catholic relations.
As far as I'm aware, a number of the Anglican cathedrals in England have the custom of inviting persons of other denominations who have a particular link either with them or with the work of Christian Unity to become honorary canons of the cathedral. I don't think it means that you take a full part in the round of liturgical service in the cathedral, obviously, but I think it means that you become part of the cathedral family, as it were, in an adoptive way, and maybe there are some sorts of rights or obligations, I don't know.
As you say, the Basilica of St. Paul's there has a particular vocation, as it were, for ecumenical work. Does the Basilica or your abbey indeed have other ties to St. Paul's Cathedral in London?
Yes, in a certain sense. And that's why I think I've been invited to become an honorary canon for two reasons, in fact. Or maybe three. But one reason is, of course, our common patron. We are the primary church of St. Paul in the world. Paul's tomb is here at the Basilica of St. Paul's. And probably one can even say that the Cathedral of London, at least the reconstructed one at the beginning of the 7th century, was dedicated to St. Paul, obviously in memory of the Roman link, because it was founded by a missionary monk sent by Pope Gregory the Great, Mellitus, with St. Augustine in 597 to convert the heathen English. So there's that link with our basilica already. Now, maybe as a result of that, over the last few years, we've developed some contacts of friendship with some of the personnel of the Anglican London Diocese associated with the Cathedral of St. Paul's in London, with one of the archdeacons, one of the canons. They've been here at two or three visits, and we've talked in a vague sort of way about ways in which maybe we could collaborate and not just have a notional link, but even find ways of collaborating for the furthering of the Christian gospel in this modern world. Those are the two main reasons I think they've invited me. Of course, there is the fact, as you mentioned, that our basilica is particularly associated with the activity of ecumenism. So that gives an added link. And then I think the occasion of the year of St. Paul, now over, gave an impetus to these contacts. So I think all those things together have prompted the very delicate and courteous decision to invite me to become an honorary canon.
At the start of this Pauline year, Pope Benedict, of course, called for just this kind, perhaps, of practical, creative initiatives to breathe real life into the ecumenical dialogues that have been going on at the academic level. How do you think, perhaps, has this Jubilee year really achieved these kind of contacts? And what else do you envisage as a result of this year?
Yeah. It's difficult to be too precise about what the year has achieved. One thing I've noticed is how enthusiastically the year was kind of taken or accepted, welcomed by people other than the Roman Catholics, even though it was formally declared by the Pope. And we know that the Ecumenical Patriarch, for example, declared a year of St. Paul, not exactly overlapping, but partially overlapping with the Roman declaration of the year. And the Anglicans were certainly very interested. And I know the Cathedral of St. Paul in London, that they've responded to this year of St. Paul. And in fact, they've got one or two other activities coming on later this year, even though that the formal year of St. Paul is over. You know, everybody recognizes that, well, whatever you think about ecumenism, we all venerate Paul with the same fervor as a foremost apostle of the gospel of Christ. No, I hope there will be these links of friendship, of human contact, even though they're kind of couched in a formal kind of framework, you know, being nominated a canon, what does it mean? Well, I hope it will mean that there'll be closer friendship with the authorities and the people who are associated with St. Paul's Cathedral in London, even though it's a long way away from Rome. And maybe together we'll be able to move forward in practical ways. Clearly, the question of the in inverted commas, the academic ecumenical dialogue is also important, but that's another thing. Maybe there'll be elements of that as well, but I think maybe more accessible is what we can actually do together, pray together, work together, and so on, because resolving the theoretical questions is far trickier.
Do you see the possibility of a similar initiative or similar kinds of appointments here in Rome, for example, people from other denominations being given the same kind of honorary positions here?
I don't think, I may be mistaken, but I don't think any Catholic cathedral has started an initiative of this kind, but I may be wrong, but I think it's rather unusual, it would be very unusual in Italy, and I'm convinced of that because when I've mentioned this to Italians, they're sort of fascinated because they've never imagined such a thing. But to be honest, I think we could easily do something along this line. Now, many people know that the four papal basilicas of Rome have traditional links with four different countries, dating back to medieval times. The Cathedral of St. Paul was associated from medieval times with the Kingdom of England. And what that meant was, rather interestingly, that the Abbot of St. Paul's was a kind of honorary member of the Knightly Order of the Garter, which is the first order of chivalry in England. It's in the gift of the English sovereign. And the sovereign of England was an honorary canon of St. Paul's. Now, that was a medieval custom. This custom still obtains, in fact, for some of the other basilicas. For example, the link, traditional link between Spain and the Santa Maria Maggiore and between the Lateran and the Kingdom of France. So whenever the head of state of France, and the last to come was Sarkozy, they always visit the Lateran Basilica, where they're welcomed and as a kind of honorary member of the chapter. So there is a precedent within Roman terms, but I would like to see this extended. And I would like to see, maybe as a possibility, the basilica, the papal basilica of St. Paul, inviting certain people who've got a particular link to become honorary members of the chapter, as it were. And I don't know exactly how we'd frame such a plan, but I think it could be a very nice way of responding to this idea the Anglicans have had for a long time that I think is very effective.
It's unthinkable that in Britain today we would regard the Christian mission as undertaken in isolation by any of the churches. And I think such is the challenge to us, that all Christians recognize the need to stand together to speak with one voice the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Canon Martin Warner is treasurer of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, which welcomes around 2 million visitors and worshippers each year. I talked to him about the importance of these ecumenical appointments and about the significance of such a gesture at the conclusion of the Pauline year.
All cathedrals were required to revise their statutes in 1999, and under our revised statutes, we provide for a company of not more than 10 honorary canons. And they are people who, for some reason, a particular cathedral may wish to be identified with as an expression of our ecumenical partnerships. And we at St. Paul's have in that company Bishop George Stack, who is assistant bishop in the Westminster Diocese here, Archbishop Grigorios, representing the Orthodox tradition, and also Leslie Griffiths, who represents the Methodist tradition. And we've maintained close links through those people, obviously with the traditions that they represent, and they are very much part of our cathedral community and foundation here.
So what does that actually mean in practical terms? I mean, an honorary title would perhaps assume that there's not much practical involvement.
Well, that's exactly right. But it does mean that when we gather for important events here in the cathedral, whether they're national events or whether they're ecclesiastical events, so it might be, say, the installation of a new dean or the enthronement of a bishop or something that celebrates a major national event like a commemoration of a serious event like the London bombing or something much more, you know, joyful like the Queen's birthday. The fact that actually the ecumenical honorary canons are present is a statement about the life of our ecumenical partners being part of the life of St. Paul's. So it has an importance in that respect. But it is possible, of course, for the honorary canons also to take part in other ways in the life of the cathedral. So, for example, Leslie Griffiths is a member of the Cathedral Council, which is an advisory body that meets three times a year, and to which the dean and chapter bring, you know, matters of importance for discussion that that we are deciding on. So yes, it's honorary and without executive function, but it nonetheless is a very serious way of representing the lives of our the presence of our ecumenical partners in the life of St. Paul's.
Interesting, of course, this appointment of Abbot Edmund at the conclusion of this Pauline year.
Yes, and intentionally so. We recognise that the Pauline year was a very important statement, not only about our shared patron, but also about the emphasis that the Holy Father placed on ecumenism and mission in the Pauline year. And so we felt that it was important that there was some recognition of that in our life here.
You're also going to be marking an important anniversary there, aren't you, I believe, next year at St. Paul's in London?
We mark the tercentenary of the completion of the cathedral, 2010-2011, yes. And as part of that, we've been engaged in a major cleaning and restoration of the building. But more particularly, that cleaning and restoration has kind of sparked fresh interest in its interpretation and how we communicate the faith that it stands for. So in some ways, the Pauline year has neatly combined with our own anniversary.
And my thanks there to Canon Martin Warner, Treasurer of St. Paul's Cathedral in London, and to Father Edmund Power, Abbot of the Benedictine Abbey of St. Paul outside the walls here in Rome.